he freely expresses the desire to avoid the suffering, but yet he surrenders to the will of the Father. I think it's so important. Lord, I want this. The Lord says, this is my will. I want this. This is my will. Okay, Lord, let your will be done.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Forest Court Church. It's Sunday, August 10th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Dimensions of Prayer, and our text comes to us from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
This morning, I'd like to address the important thing. We do this all the time in our lives, and I'd like to emphasize it just this one more time. It's about praying, and though it's a common subject, I like to address it in such a way that you would understand the relevance and the different dimensions and facets of what it means to pray. How many pray? But do we know how to pray? Do we understand the meaning of prayer? So Jesus tells a parable, and it's in chapter 18 of Luke. Luke chapter 18. Let's look at it and look at it. Verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them, that they should, what?
Always pray.
Always pray. And what? How many times do you and I give up in prayer? We do. And I think sometimes we give up because we don't know the reason or the dynamics of what prayer is all about, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's move on. He said, in a certain town, this is the parable, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. That says it all about judges, right? Excuse me, everyone, if you're a judge, I'm not mean to insult you. This is Jesus, and this is a parable. But it says, you know, a judge who didn't care. And there was a widow. Oh, boy. In that town, who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said, even though I don't fear God or care about men, goes on, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. I love that, don't you? And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? May God bless the reading of his word. Because this is a parable, a teaching from Jesus that emphasizes the importance of persistent prayer and not losing heart when in the face of challenges. This parable of the persistent widow illustrates the point that even an unjust judge responds to persistent pleas. But how much more God, who is just, will respond to the prayers of his people who persevere in faith. So the insights of Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 8, says a couple of things. First of all, he encourages his followers, that would be you and me, to pray. How? Continuously. Continuously. But not as a burden, and we will find this out this morning, but a way of aligning ourselves with God's will and persevering in the moments of challenges. Because prayer, to the best of our ability in trying to define it, is not just for moments of need, but a continuous engagement with God. If that could sink in, if that could only sink in. It tells us that we not to faint, that endurance is required in prayer, that endurance is part of praying. I suppose Jesus would also would like for you and I to recognize that there will be times when we feel like God is silent, or not necessarily answering the way we want to, especially right away. But in those moments, again, you and I are encouraged not to lose heart. Instead, we are asked to remain faithful in prayer, trusting that God will hear us and that God will act. Can I hear an amen to that? Because prayer is so important, and this goes for all of you, everybody. So let me just simply say that there is a need in your life and my life to invoke or to have prayer as a discipline, a spiritual discipline, something that is central to your life and my life, that it is through prayer, and all of us pray, and the different ways to pray. We pray on occasions of need. We pray when we're driving. We're praying. We pray when we're sick. We pray when we're happy. But it's through prayer, through this dialogue with God, this ability to express our heart to God with our thoughts, with our mouth, with our body, that we align ourselves with His will. That when you and I pray, we're asking really for God to do His thing, for God to do something in us. And then not only do we engage God in prayer, we align ourselves with His will, and then you and I experience what is known as transformation. Prayer will transform you. Prayer will transform you. So three things I want to mention this morning. That prayer has to be relational. That secondly, prayer is transformational. And thirdly, that it is a tool to align ourselves with the will of God. So prayer is not simply asking for things. Prayer is also about deepening our relationship with God and submitting to His will. Oh, we do pray for things. We do pray for needs. We do pray for moments of anguish. We do pray for situations that we're facing immediately. But prayer is a constant in the life of the Christian that induces us to enter into His presence so that His will be manifested in our hearts and lives. That we develop a relationship with God, and that we know how to submit to His will. So let's begin with prayer as a relationship with God. And we got great people who have written about this, and I'm not going to take time to quote them, but I'm telling you, some of the greatest men and women of faith have written about prayer as a relationship with God. One of my favorites, of course, is Dallas Willard, who wrote, "Prayer is talking with God about what we're doing together." Let me read that again to you. Prayer is talking to God about what we're doing together. Prayer is talking to God about what we're doing together. There's a partnership. I talk to God about what we're doing together. More than, "Lord, look at the mess I'm in, get me out of it," which is valid. But there's this ongoing relationship. "Lord, I am doing this job at my work. Whatever you do on Monday morning, whatever you work, but you work together with God. You're not working alone. Whatever you do in word or deed, we do it for the glory of God." So my brother, I don't know if you're back to the bus driving. No, you're not yet. But when you get there, you're doing it with God. God is helping you drive. You know, whatever you do in life, the idea of prayer is talking to God about what you are doing together with Him. So prayer is not just a transaction, but an invitation to experience the life of God in your everyday affairs. We're not just asking for things. We're aligning our hearts with the will of God in God's kingdom. Barclay, another great individual who writes about prayer, he says that prayer simply is the expression of faith and a living connection with God. Prayer is not, he says, a way of getting things from God. It's a way of making ourselves one with God. In that union, our whole life changes. So prayer is relationship. It's developing a relationship with the Lord. It's getting close to a person, which is God. Prayer is asking about His presence in your life, building a relationship with Him, talking to Him. You know, He's approachable. You can talk to God anytime. You don't have to be in a special place, and you don't have to have special words. If you're alive, if you're a human being, you can talk to God, and you'll build a relationship with Him. And it's about becoming one with the Lord. It's becoming close to Him through conversations and communion. It's you talking by yourself, and yet God is listening to every word you say. Sometimes you mumble, don't you? What do you do? I'm talking to God. Talk to God. Speak to God. Have Him present in your mind and in your heart. Because prayer is simply developing a relationship with Him. Bringing Him into everything that you do in life. Talking to Him about what you both are doing together. Lord, help me in my marriage. Help me with my children. Help me with my grandchildren. Help me at the job. Help me here. Help me there. Lord, we're working this together. And the Lord begins to work. So all of a sudden, you get a pain in your stomach, or you get a pain in whatever. Lord, I developed this pain. Let's work this thing together. It's talking to God. It's talking to God. Second thing, prayer is a discipline that transforms your life. It's transformational. It shapes us. It aligns us, aligns our will with God. Because sometimes we're stubborn. We're pig-headed. Excuse me for using that word. But sometimes we're so stubborn that we want it our will. And yet when we come to prayer before the Lord, there's something about being transformed so that it will not be my will necessarily, but it will be God's will that blends with my will. And therefore, thy will be done. But it's formation. It's formation. Dallas says, prayer helps us to turn away from the distractions of the world and focus on God's presence, where we are not only formed, but we are reformatted. We're reshaped. We think differently because it transforms us inwardly. We no longer think like we used to, because the way we were thinking was not getting us any really good things. It's depressing. I mean, people talk to him about the state of affairs in the country. It's depressing, but you talk about the Lord Jesus, and it's very uplifting. So I go to the gas station, and here's my car, and I said, dear God, I thought gas was going to come down. I go to the market, and the bill's still there. I can find eggs now. There's lots of eggs now, but good grief. So I talked to the Lord about it. And the Lord just simply tells me prayer is a way in which I can train to live in God's provisions and not depend on the distractions of the world. For the Lord will take care of each one of us no matter what we're going through. Amen. So it's like athletes. You know, they train for competition, and prayer is that discipline that shapes your character and shapes your spiritual life. It allows you to be more like the Lord. So prayer, as you do consistent prayer, you allow the Lord to transform you, making you more like Christ. And often people say, Lord, change my circumstances. But often God changes you and leaves the circumstances the same way as they are. But there's a new approach to life. There's a new prism under which you look at life. And that is so important. Relationship with God and discipline that changes you and transforms you. But there's a third thing, and that is prayer helps you to be submissive to God's will. That's the hardest thing, because prayer really comes down to say, Lord, your will is what I desire, and I need to align my desires with your will. And it's not, prayer is not imposing my will on God. It's not telling God what I want and I must have that or else. But prayer is submitting to His will. Again, Willard says, we do not come to God to get Him to act on our behalf, but to enter into His life to be shaped by Him. Oh, Lord, I enter into Your life. I enter, Lord, into this relationship of prayer, speaking with You, talking with You, opening my heart, and simply, Lord, shape my life so that I will mirror who you are. And this is obedience, you know, to God's call. It's an act of submission to faith. It's a moment of trust. It is that understanding that God's will is perfect after all. And if we simply surrender our desires for him in exchange for his will to be done and not my stubbornness, I think you're in the right path. I think you're going to live happy. I think you're going to say, so this is what it's all about. Saying yes to God's will and not fighting him all the time. I want my way. I want my way. I want my way. I want this. And the Lord says, but this is what you're going to get. But I want this. But God says, this is what you got. But I want this. And God says, you're stubborn. God's way is best. Because you're going to get what he gives you. And when you are challenging God's will in your life, all you're doing is just having a miserable experience in life. Just say, Lord, that your will be done. And we have biblical examples. The first one is Jesus. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. That's what Jesus said to the Father. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is the submission. This is the commitment to his will. Even in the face of personal struggle, he freely expresses the desire to avoid the suffering, but yet he surrenders to the will of the Father. I think it's so important. Lord, I want this. The Lord says, this is my will. I want this. This is my will. Okay, Lord, let your will be done. I am saying to you that the prayer involves both things. It involves expressing your desires and your struggles. It does. It really does. But then it also means submitting to God's sovereign will in your life. To simply say, you know, this is God's way. It must be God's way. Because this is what I have now. And if I submit to God's way, I'll be okay. As long as you buck God and you fight with God and you rebel and you cast out demons and everything you can think of, it's still not going to change you because you are in God's hands and God's the one who's guiding you. And you're trusting him. He's providing a path for you. So Jesus shows us that in prayer, we're invited to freely express our will. I come to God and I said, I want this. He just listens to me. I want this. He keeps listening to me. But ultimately, I have to say, but Lord, let your will be done. And it's the moment when you say, let your will be done, and you're not fighting God, that there's peace. And the Bible says, the peace that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds. There's something about but allowing God to move in your life in a sovereign way that resolves the big struggles, resolves the big issues. Because you say, I am in God's way. I am in doing God's things. I am not fighting God. I'm not passive because I know what I want, because I'm telling him. But ultimately, Lord, let your will be done. So we can express our desires, we can express our struggles, but ultimately we say, let your will be done as a sovereign God over my life. I know we're getting into all kinds of theological thoughts, and in my mind I do, about the will of man and the sovereignty of God, and you can do everything you want, but all I can tell you is that you and I are freely, in Scripture, we're freely given the ability to express our will. But also, we're recommended, we're spoken to, that we need to submit to God's greater plan in our life. And that sometimes is easy for some of us, and sometimes is very difficult for us. Because sometimes we've planned our life differently than what is showing up to be. The unexpected comes in our lives, in our hearts. And question marks that we can't really resolve. But you have to understand that God has a plan in our lives and that we do everything we can, but we have to trust him that his ways are better And even when we don't understand God, we have to say, Lord, let your will be done. You know, it's a very safe place to be. You know, I grew up in the Pentecostal revival where you told God what to do. Oh, boy. God, I want this and I claim this for you. And for your glory was for me and for my glory. But we were taught that you should demand God and force God. You know, and I understand that you can come before the Lord and secure God's will in your life and pursue things in your heart and in your life that you believe to be true. But ultimately, you have to say, but let your will be done. I saw many lives destroyed simply because they couldn't have it their way. There comes a moment when you come to God and you insist on God and you pursue God, and God answers according to his will for your life, and you must receive it and accept it as such. Don't think that you know better than God. Nothing is bad. It's not lack of faith when you say in your prayers, but let your will be done. What's wrong with that? What is wrong to say, let your will be done in my life? How is that not faith? How is that not trusting God? How does that put you out of the hall of fame of Hebrews 11? No. Let your will be done. And you submit to him. And no matter what happens, you're in God's hands. Oh, well, you're quiet today. Okay. Do I pray with earnest? Yes. Do I pray? Yes. Do I seek the Lord? Yes. But ultimately, I have to say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. There's also another biblical example of praying. And it's Paul praying for the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. And in this prayer, he's simply saying, I'm going to pray for others. And you also have the ability to pray for other people. And he goes on to pray in Ephesians 3:14 through 21. He says, His glorious riches may be strengthened with you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And he goes on to say, and then he keeps on praying, and then he ends by saying, and to him who is able to do it. And you know, we pray for other people. We intercede for other people. We intercede for brothers and sisters and for people in our families. And we pray. And so we intercede, but always with the word of submission to the Lord for God's will to be done. Paul prays for the elders of Ephesus, and yet he says, and to him who is able to do it. He is the one that does it. He is the one that answers prayer. Because ultimately, God's will be done in the lives of people that Paul is praying for. And ultimately, God's will be done in the lives of the people you pray for. Yes, you do. Intercessory prayer is an act of free will. We choose to pray for others, but we trust in God's sovereignty to answer according to his wisdom and timing. Never, ever give up in praying for those around you. Let me bring you one example. Brother Acevedo, John Acevedo, is in the presence of Jesus today. And his mother prayed for him, and he was a rascal. I won't say any more, Sister Anselma. I'll take it out there. You know, I know. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And she passed away, and that's when John came to know the Lord. And he became a giant among us, serving the Lord in a humble way, in a quiet way, sincere way. God answered the prayers of someone who believed that God would answer prayer. And God in his sovereignty and his touch touched John and his whole family. I'm telling you, intercessory prayer is so important. And we can intercede in behalf of others for our children. How many pray for your children? How many pray for our children's children? Never give up. Be consistent. Never give up. Because God's will is perfect. And there's timing how God answers our prayer. Let me give you one more example of how prayer is important. It is the prayer of the early church in Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 30. And this is the church praying. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. The church was facing horrible persecution. And they were being slaughtered and killed. And yet the early church, when they faced such opposition, they prayed for boldness to continue to spread the gospel, to preach the word. And they acknowledged the sovereignty of God, the power of God over the rulers on earth. And they asked, oh God, I know things are going bad, but Lord, you can empower us to do the work that you've commissioned us to do. And this is true. There are things that come in your life that you have to pray through. And there's opposition in life for you to do God's will. But God can empower and change the circumstances so that God's will be done. So God works. God works in spite of all the things that go on around you. And the early church freely began to ask God to empower them. And they trusted in God's plan. And ultimately, the church prevailed in the world. And today, after more than 2,000 years, we're preaching the gospel as a result of that prayer of the church that said, there's opposition, but Lord, empower us to do your work. There's a God who empowers us and strengthens us. So let me see if I can conclude this morning. There is an interplay between what you want and what God's going to do. It's there. You can't fight it. Sometimes it's conflictive. And so what you and I need to do is that we should express that conflict in our heart. We should take, oh God, but this is what I want. And God will not put you down because you speak to him, telling him the truth and how you feel. But as you do that, you need to be cognizant. You need to understand that ultimately you should and you must have God's will in your life. So imagine. Let's make it very, very simple. Simple as I can be. Oh, God, I want to marry so-and-so. It's simple, isn't it? Simple. Oh, Lord, please. Oh, God, you know I love blondes. Lord, you know the green eyes. Oh, Lord, you know. This, that, the other. Oh God, that's the one. That's the one I want. God. How many have been there? Oh, you don't want to admit anything, huh? But when you submit that to God, God will say to you, no, you're going to be married to a brunette. And when you say, Lord, your will be done, all of a sudden you fall in love with a brunette. And then you find out that the blonde had dyed her hair. You never know. So when you submit to God's will, you're okay. But it's like that in everything in our lives. The submission to see God worked in your life. Not to be bullheaded. I'll say it again, pigheaded. It's this way. No, Lord, this is what I want. But let your will be done in my life, Lord. And you can pray for others. And yet at the same time, you need to know that God will answer according to his will in his time. Prayer. We must always pray and not give up. So don't give up in praying. Just keep going. The early church, brothers and sisters, prayed. They prayed. And yet, as they wanted things, they understood that it was up to God to do it. So Prayer is a place where human freedom, what you want, and God's sovereignty, what God wills, meet. Before you come before God as a person, as a human being, redeemed by the blood of the Lord, and you say, this is what I want. And then you hear the voice of God who says, this is what you get. Amen. And sometimes what you want is what God wants you to have as well. Because we're not always so radical. But through prayer, see, this is the wonderful thing about prayer. Your prayer aligns your heart with His. When all of a sudden you're not so, I want this, you simply come to Him and say, Lord, what are we doing together? How are we going to do this? Lord, I want to do your will. You know, there's this ability to participate in God's purposes in your life, where you're not fighting and you're not stubborn and you're not wanting to do it your way, but you want to do it His way so that you can do what God is doing in the world today. So, brothers, you know, I do want you to know that prayer, as I conclude, I said that twice, it's okay, it's part of it. Prayer is really a tool. Like a hammer, like a saw, like nails. Well, I don't know if a nail is a tool, but prayer helps us to align ourselves, align our heart with God's purposes, and helps us to submit to Him. Where you say, Lord, let your will be done. It's God's presence in your prayer. Helps you to align yourself with Him. And not your stubbornness. Some of us are stubborn. Ooh, are we stubborn? But come to Him and say, Lord, your will be done in my life. But it also means the apparatus or the process of reconciliation. Because you reconcile yourself with God. And in prayer, you also reconcile yourself with others. Because prayer and forgiveness are just part and parcel of it. When you pray, you lead to forgive others and you forgive yourself and you find peace with God and all the dynamics of living for God. Prayer is a daily discipline. And prayer helps us align ourselves with the will of God. Four things. Shapes our hearts, transforms our desires, leads us to forgive others, and we seek reconciliation in our relationships. So I invite you to pray on a daily basis, not long prayers, short prayers, moment by moment prayers. Prayer is not about works, but prayer is about submitting to God's grace in your life. Through prayer, you and I submit ourselves to God's will. We allow Him to transform us, aligns us, our heart with His. So I pray that you would pray always and don't give up. So whatever is going on in your life, whatever trials you're facing, whatever difficulties, whatever boredom you experience in life, whatever displeasures you may have, whatever situation, talk to God about it. Let Him know. He's an active participant in your life. And if you say, let your will be done, you can't miss. You can't go wrong. Submitting to God's will in your life is wonderful. He takes all the pressure off of you. And quite honestly, it puts it on Him. And He's a big boy. He can take your burdens. He can take care of you. What you and I can't handle, that's what He's for. To take care that your life will be like a river of living water. He's the one who says, take up my yoke, my learnings, and learn of me. My yoke is easy. He tells us not to sweat it, but to work with him. Prayer. This entangles your life and it helps you. Some of us are entering new life's experiences every day, and we face obstacles we could never really overcome, except God, who's in our lives, can do and help you do. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So pray and don't give up. We have not talked about how you pray, but the way you pray is you say, "Hey God," I don't never use the way "Hey," but I'll say, "Lord, this is what I'm facing. What am I facing? Well, Lord, I'm getting old." You laugh, but you'll get old someday, if you're lucky. I looked in the mirror and I said, "Lord, ouch. Ouch. Help me in this stage of my life to live right." There's something about aging gracefully. I'm experiencing the aging. Grace needs to be added. Others may face sickness. Say, "God, look at my body. What's going on?" Well, he will take care of you. He will speak to you. His grace is sufficient for you. It is. Just don't fight him. In prayer, thank him that you are where you are. So I did say to the Lord, "Thank you, Lord, because because I am where I am and you are where you are, and we serve the Lord the way we serve the Lord, and his grace is sufficient, and I know that God is in charge, and I have that assurance because I pray and don't give up." Don't you dare give up. Bother God every single day. Bug him. Don't give up like the widow. Don't give up. God will do this. Promises he will do this. Persist. He will do this for the glory of God. I'm done. Lord, I thank you for the work of your Spirit in our lives, for the importance that you bring to us this morning through the process of prayer. Lord, help us to adapt a new way of praying, and that it not be just the time that we go to you when we have needs, but that we can have fellowship together, Lord, to the days, Lord, that we would incorporate you into our habit of addressing you and speaking with you and having communion with you, and just letting you know how much we love you and trying to hear you, Lord, as we go through the different stages of life, as we go through crisis after crisis with our families, with our bodies, with our finances, Lord, with the state of the world, everything that goes on, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand that you're in charge and that your will needs to be done in our lives and that we submit to it. We pray this way in Jesus' name. Amen. How many will submit whatever you're going through in the hands of the Lord and just praying it through? Just praying it through. Just, "Lord, you know me. You know my stubbornness, but you also know my willingness to do your will in Jesus' name." Amen. All right, church. This is the day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.